Aloha.
Shout out Pearl Harbor, by the way.
You are, but so am I. We are back from theballerlifestyle.com. It's the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. My name is Brian Beckner. Thank you for joining us. It's episode number 520 of the show. We very much appreciate you listening. We would like to get to know you better. Please consider sending us an email. mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com is the email address. Or in lieu of an email, why don't you just go to the, click the app, iTunes or whatever it's called now, Apple Podcasts, and leave us a 5-star review. You could also do that. You can call us, 949-464-TBLS is the phone number. And of course, I implore you to support the show via $5 monthly donation. Click the link in the show notes, sign up there, and you get all the bonus content. You get the joy of contributing to a scrappy little grassroots sports and pop culture podcast and dicks and movies. You get that, but also you get all the bonus content. We do bonus content here as part of this show every week. That's only available to our subscribers. I do a solo show, Bonus Bri, only available to our subscribers. And of course, the after show with Dolomite D, Super Lee, and Ben 906, plus their wrestling content, if you're into that, gets shared via our bonus content. So click the link in the show notes, subscribe there, or go to theballerlifestyle.com and click the link at the top of the page and subscribe. I am joined now, as always, by Easy Ed Diario. Ed, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. What was I going to say? I just came across something. So it's DUI over there, right?
Yeah, we're DUI on the West Coast.
We're DWI.
Yeah, I think most places are DWI.
But then how about this one?
We lead the world in one. They should be called DUIs. Yeah, DU's I. Yeah.
Denard Robinson, the old Michigan quarterback. I think he's one of their coaches now.
Shoelace,
yeah. Yep. Didn't tie his shoes. He was an awesome mobile quarterback. Well, he's not awesome at 3:05 this morning.
Oh, no.
He's arrested for an OWI.
Operating while intoxicated.
But operating? Like, why not just, he's driving.
Was it a tractor or an ATV?
Or was he performing surgery? He was operating on someone.
Maybe. I'm sure they have a very good medical school at Michigan. Yeah. He's probably
Yeah, 3:05 in the morning. And he also crashed, it looks like.
Wow.
Single vehicle incident.
Wow. I recall one time being at a San Diego Chargers game with friend of the show Travis Rogers. Mm-hmm. And they were playing the Jacksonville Jags and somebody was returning a punt and I said, "Hey, is that Shoelace?" And Trav's like, "Yeah, I think it is." And there was Denard Robinson returning kicks for the Jags. Well, now he's returning something else. He's returning to jail with his OWI.
It's unreal. Uber exists.
I know.
Lyft exists. I know. There's just, you don't need to do it. You don't need to drive drunk.
You don't. You really don't. And growing up here, look, we did our fair share of driving drunk. And first of all, Uber didn't exist. And there were no taxi cabs. We're living in suburban Southern California. You'd be like, "Okay, I'm going to call a cab." And you call a cab and the cab company would tell you a cab was coming and it would never come. But that's been eliminated. I need to go to the airport. 5 minutes before I go to the airport, I just open my phone and say, "I got to go to the airport." And somebody literally will just show up to my house moments later. It's a miracle. It's a miracle.
It's crazy. Did I ever tell the story about my buddy and I went to some fight night in Philly, and it was in It was West Philly. It was rough area. You
just basically went to Philly.
It was like ESPN Friday Night Fights something.
Yeah.
But like, so, and like, the hitman, the executioner was there.
Yeah.
Hopkins.
Bernard Hopkins.
Yeah. Who is the young 38 because he did time in jail.
Yeah.
Not Tommy Hitman, Bernard the executioner. Yeah. But so he was there like presiding over, like he was, you know, interviewed by ESPN, but there were just, you know, it was fights.
He was from Philly.
I guess so. I assume so. But like, he just happened to be there. And then the other guys we saw were like the type of guys you'd see on Friday nights, like not household names.
Yeah. Like the, anyway. Like leading the card would be like Vinny Pazienza. Like if you'd be lucky to get a Vinny Pazienza fight that night.
The Paznanian devil.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So it was a rough section. And sure. So when we left, we're like, all right, we'll just try to get a cab because we got a cab there. And this was, I don't know, 18 years ago. Like it was pre Uber.
Right.
And
you took a cab from Hoboken to.
No. Philly? I was in Philly. I think I had a meeting with a customer during the day. And then I had a buddy who lived in Philly.
Got it.
And, so we're like, all right, so we'll just get a cab when we leave. And there are no cabs. Everybody like goes to their cars and it's just us. And then we go into a bar and we say to the bartender, like, all right, can we call a cab? And she's like, you can call. They're definitely not going to come to this area.
Because of the neighborhood.
She's like, you'll never get. And so we're like, well, what do we do? And she's like, well, you can call them. It's just they'll say they're coming. They'll never come. And she's like, listen, we close at 3. You can stay here until 3.
Yeah.
This was like 11. We're like, what? She's like, but then I'm leaving at 3.
Yeah.
And like, that's it. And she's like,
she didn't say like walk to, if you walk 4 blocks that way, there's Ted's on 3rd. Go in there, have a drink, and they'll call you a cab. And a cab will come there.
It was clear. She was like, this is not going to work out for you guys.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know, maybe it's 11:30. We did try cab companies. And she's like, I'm telling you, they won't come. No matter what they tell you, they're not coming. And there's never been a cab that's shown up here.
Yeah.
And so my buddy, his wife is asleep, but she's like 8 months pregnant, 8.5 months pregnant.
Oh, my
God. He's like, I can't have her wake her up, have her come here. And he's like, but I got to do it. We're like, what are we going to do? So he tried calling her.
You guys are shit faced. This is like, I can feel this night.
Yeah.
I know this feeling. I've had these nights. I know what's going on here.
And so it was like, it was alarming. Like, you know, we're not sure what to do. And the wife isn't picking up. She's asleep. Like, and so we're like, what do we do?
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, well. I do use car service at UBS in New York.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I was like, we got a few hours. So I called my New York City based car service and I was like, because I did meet with a customer. I was like, yeah, I need you to pick me up. I'm like, okay, where? And I was like, here's the name of the bar in Philadelphia. Can you get here by 3 a.m.? And they're like, yeah, we'll get there by like 2:30. And sure enough, I got my New York car service to pick me up. And dropped my buddy off. And then I said to the guy, I was like, you can play whatever you want, as loud as you want. I'm about to pass out. Just wake me up when we're in Hoboken.
Did you expense it?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. And I mean, how much is that trip?
It must have been hundreds. Like, wow. I don't know, 400. It must have been something crazy. But like, it was that or be murdered.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like there were no other options.
Was the bartender like, look, you can stay here till 3 and then I'm going home and no promises. I don't know if Marvin Harrison's out tonight. That's all I'll say.
The good news is he was out hunting last night. He might be full.
Yeah, it's a different world now. Like, it's just anybody will come pick you up. It's a hustle because everybody, because, you know, AI's taken over. There's there's no jobs anymore. There's not regular jobs. So people got gigs.
Gig economy.
Gigging it. So they will fucking drive you a ways. I was talking to my buddy Fan. He's coming to visit. So we're going to go see a concert at the Greek Theater in LA, which is like a solid 60 miles from my house.
Well,
and he's like, can we Uber that? And I'm like, yeah, it'll probably be a couple $100. And then I looked, it's like $87.
That's crazy.
Yes.
For that distance?
Like, yes. I'm like, totally worth it. Like 100% we're doing that. We're Ubering that distance because it's totally worth it to do. So, you know, I'm having this problem with, well, I mean, you probably don't know, but I'm having this problem with my knee. And it's
Was it an incident that led to this or just the wear and tear of being in your 40s?
Right. Yes. It's from being old. I can't point to a specific moment or anything that happened, but at some point my knee developed a click where it's just like, it's like if I hyperextend it or just extend it all the way, it'll something like pops. And there's like, and you could see it from the outside of the knee. There's like a little something in there that like pops in and out. Oof. And it's like not so painful, but then, but it's just always there. And I hike a lot, I squat, and it's just noticeable. It's always happening. And then I went to Nashville last weekend, or weekend before last, and we walked a lot, and I just had Vans. I was walking in Vans a lot. And I think just not having the right shoes, it just aggravated it. So then I was really feeling it. And so people are, and a couple weeks ago, my daughter's in sports medicine in high school. And she's cool. I was showing her my knee and she's like, okay, let me see that. She's like, oh, we just did this unit. And she takes me through, she like moves it from side. Does that hurt? Does this hurt? Does this hurt? She like moves it around. Does this hurt? And she goes, you know what I think you got going? She goes, I think your knee, your patella is like out of the slot and it just needs to work its way back into the slot. And I'm like, you're fucking 16. What the fuck do you know? Like you're took one class on this. So I go to the doctor and the doctor's like, I don't know. She's like, just start with physical therapy. Like it doesn't look like there's any structural issue. Just go to a physical therapist and they can probably give you some exercises. They could tell you what's going on. So I go to the physical therapist today and I walk in and I give him my paperwork. I give him, you know, my insurance card, figuring how much
you get copay.
Yeah, I got a copay, 20%. And they're like, and I'm like, and I had to drive a ways. There was some traffic. I go, hey, can I use your restroom? And they're like, yeah, no problem. And I go back. I go, it's down the hall in the back corner. I go in the bathroom and it's like this weird, because it's like a physical therapy place. So there's like lockers and there's a shower. And I'm like, well, where's the urinal? And I realize there's no urinal. It's just a stall. And the stall's closed. And I'm like, I'm not sure. And then I try the stall. And as soon as I start trying the stall, Ed.
Somebody announces they're in there.
They didn't announce. But I
Heard.
I took my.
They're dropping anchor.
All my senses absorbed what was happening in that room. And I go, oh my God. Somebody's taking a horrendous shit in the stall right now. And so I backed up. I backed away, had my arms up like, okay, I get it. I backed away and I went out and I sat back down in the lobby. And then a few minutes later, I see somebody come down the hallway. And I realize that this is probably the guy I got my appointment with.
Oh,
my physical therapist.
He's going to be putting his hands on you.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Because I knew it was with a dude and it was a small office. And I looked around and I saw exactly one dude in that office. Hmm. And I realized it was the dude that was just dropping trow a couple minutes before. Now he's going to be touching me.
Yeah. And like you hope he's good at washing his hands.
Yes.
But you know the activity he did right before that.
Yes. Ed, yes. And you can't not think about it.
You can't.
You can't, like, you just, and I'm, so, and then there was no time. I'm like, do I leave? Do I make up a lie? And then about a minute later, he comes walking out and he's like, Brian, come on back. And I was like, fuck.
Oh, man.
And I went in and I'm like looking at his pants. For some reason, I kept checking his pants to see if there was any signs.
What if his hands are especially warm?
No, they weren't. Also, when I went to, he's like, hey, Brian, nice to meet you. I don't say that. He's like, hey, Brian, nice to meet you. And he shook my hand and his hands had that just washed feeling to them. Like they weren't quite damp, but the texture was of the just washed and dried feel. Yeah. Like you could tell.
You're having a lot of thoughts about stuff you don't want to be thinking about.
Yeah. And I couldn't stop thinking about it. And then I went in. I swear to God, Ed, he's like, ask me what's going on with my knee. And I'm like, yeah, it's doing this clicking thing. And I pull up my pant leg and I'm like, look, I can show you. And he's like, oh yeah, I see it. And then to a man, he gave me word for word the exact fucking exam that my daughter gave me in the living room 2 weeks ago.
It's amazing. But what kind of high school is this?
I don't know. They have sports medicine. And he gave me
what, you have majors in high school?
Well, I don't know. I think it's an elective. I don't know.
That's crazy.
Yes. And he gives me the thing and he's like, yeah, he's like, looks like the patella is like kind of out of the slot. And he like opens something on the internet and he's like, look like this. And I'm like, my daughter's in sports medicine and she's a junior in high school. And she just told me the exact same thing. And he's like, yeah, that's what it is. And he's like, so here. And then he just like put some tape around my kneecap to like keep it in place. And he's like, it should be fine. He's like, don't hyperextend your knee too much. Try not to walk too much on hills. Don't squat too deep. And eventually it'll kind of work itself back into place. And then like, that was it. But
well, you gotta be proud. Your daughter's a good student, I guess.
Yeah. She isn't, but let's here. Should we call her?
If you'd like.
Yeah, this might be. She might like this. Hold on. Let's see if she answers. Because this is a real win for her. And I don't like to give her these. Let's call her. Wait, how do you just call? I don't want to fade. Oh, right here. Okay, here we go.
Hello,
Ryan.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Sitting on the couch.
Okay, you're on the Baller Lifestyle podcast. Say hi to Adele.
Oh my god. Wait.
Hello.
All right.
Hey.
Hey.
So I hear your diagnosis of your dad is pretty impressive on his knee.
Yeah.
So
no, you don't even know, right? So remember, you were telling me, what did you tell me was wrong with my knee?
I told you that. Which side was the knee popping out to? The outside or the inside?
The outside.
Okay, yeah. So I told you that your medial quadricep was stronger than your lateral.
Yeah.
So it was pulling the patella out of the patellar groove.
Yeah. Yeah. So
was I right?
I went to physical therapy today.
Mm-hmm.
And the dude checked my knee and basically he gave me the exact same exam that you gave me, that you learned in junior level 11th grade physical, or what's your class called? Sports medicine. So Ed's is that an elective where Ed's doesn't believe that you are surprised that there's sports medicine in high school? Yeah. Is that your elective, right?
Yeah, that's my elective. This is the only school I've ever heard of that offers it.
Yeah. So
do you have an A in the class?
Oh, come on.
I think I have like a B.
That's pretty good.
The last semester I have an A.
Yeah, it's because of the one you like. Yeah.
You should share this info with your teacher that you were dead right. Maybe that'll bump your grade up.
Yes, right.
Oh yeah, I'm a teller.
Tell her. So I went and he gave me the exact exam that you gave me where he was like moving my knee to the side, like he took it, like put it under his armpit. Also, the guy was in the restroom when I got there, which kind of grossed me out, but he gave me the exact same exam you gave me, and then he's like, yeah, he's like, your kneecaps, like, or your patella's like kind of out of the slot. And then he showed me on the internet what it looks like. He's like, it should be right here, but it's like kind of over here to the side. And then he put some of that CrossFit tape on my knee and it totally like held it in place.
But how long does that stay on your knee?
What's that?
Like, how long do you keep tape on?
He said it'll stay for like a couple days. And then he told me to go buy some and just do the same thing every couple days, put some on. Yeah. So, Rye, you're basically a doctor. You should go to medical school.
Congratulations.
Now. Right.
Yeah. Go me.
Assuming you can pass geometry.
Mm. I hated that class with shapes, bullshit, rhombus.
I never made it to geometry. You'd be surprised to learn.
You even ever made it to the grade I'm in.
Hey,
That's true.
You got the good enough degree?
Yes. Right. That's funny. Okay. I just wanted to let you know that. Good job. Tell your teacher.
Congratulations.
Oh, bye.
Yeah. Okay. Bye. Love you.
Okay, bye.
I knew she'd get me at some point during that. Okay. Ed, great catching up. Let's talk about people who died.
Just tell us who was dead now. Just tell us who was dead now. It's a sad segment. Very sad. And it will not be an update on who's alive. Nope. Let's get a tragic update.
Tragic update.
Cause Ed Daily has been keeping up on who just died.
Yep.
Cause we're about to hear from Ed on which celebrities are dead. So tell me who died. Tell me who died.
Ed. Who died?
You know, we said it's a sad segment, and there will be some sad parts of this segment.
Of course.
But you really don't get too many unifying deaths that really everybody, it was met with applause.
It really was, yeah.
Orenthal James Simpson, dead at 76. The big C got him.
Yeah. It's crazy. And look, it's crazy how karma works. Because karma, it got Johnny Cochran right away.
He didn't make it to the year 2000, did he?
I don't think so. And like,
he was gone.
It got Bob Kardashian right away. They were handled. Oh, no. Johnny Cochran made it to 05. So he saw 9/11.
Okay.
But look, that was what? He barely made it a decade. He didn't make it a decade.
How about Barry Sheck? Is he around?
He's around. He's around, but he's the Innocence Project. He's committed his life to... So he probably saw... He saw Bob Kardashian and Johnny Cochran, and he's like, oh, fuck, I'm next. So I'm gonna devote my life to freeing innocent people via DNA. After I freed OJ via DNA, I'm gonna do it for... I'm going to take my powers and use them for good. But it didn't. OJ lingered. And other than the, I don't know, 8 or 9 years he got in prison for stealing his memorabilia back.
That was a makeup call.
That was a makeup call.
Yeah. He stole shit that was stolen from him. And then they're like, we're throwing the book at this guy.
Yeah. And it was all because he said, don't let him leave. That was it. They're in the room and he told his buddy, don't let him leave. And his buddy stood by the door and that was it. That's what got him. But he had a nice long run.
Played lots of golf.
He played lots of golf looking for the real killers. I saw
piece of shit. They cut away from a live NBA finals game.
Oh, I recall.
Fury. I mean, come on. Fucking Knicks are in the finals, and I'm just watching a car.
Yeah, at first they had the chase in the picture in picture,
which is fine. I get it was a big deal.
Yes,
but if you're tuning into the NBA finals, you want to watch basketball.
Yes. Then they flipped it and had the
you're just watching a truck.
Yeah, they had the NBA finals in the corner.
And sometimes they were just giving you scoring updates.
Yeah, so fucked.
That was fucked.
That was fucked. Fuck OJ. He's fuck a piece OJ. Of shit. And I got to assume that his children with Nicole, who he murdered, they're happier than anyone today because they had to live their lives.
Think one of them, there was like, there are two kids.
Sydney and Justin.
I think one of them was like cozied up to him in recent years.
Oof.
Like, which is all kinds of fucked up.
Yeah, it is.
Like,
really
one of them had a bad relationship with him. One of them, because he killed their mom.
Right. That would do it.
That's pretty much a deal breaker in my house.
Bob Kardashian made it to 2003. So neither of those dudes made it a decade after the verdict. Kardashian gone, Cochran gone, and OJ lingered until recent times. Fuck OJ. And one more time. Fuck USC. Fuck any Trojan. Honestly. Fuck USC. Fuck the license plate frames.
Al Cowlings. What a bitch he was.
You know, Al Cowlings has a dorm. There's an Al Cowlings dorm at USC because OJ and Al Cowlings were best friends with this dude. I don't know his name. It's Bob something. And he was like he's the guy that started Public Storage.
Oh, yes, yes.
And he's a huge USC booster. And one of the things he did is he bought a dorm for his good friend, Al Cowlings. He's like, I'm going to give you money for a dorm.
Al Cowlings must have been a next level bootlicker.
Of course, but how much of a piece of fucking shit university are you that you're like, oh, yeah, sure. Give us the money, and you can name the dorm after whoever you'd like. OJ, how about OJ's wheelman? No problem. Did the check clear? Get the fuck out of here. Fuck you, USC. Fuck your Tesla.
They did this after the chase?
I don't know. Hold on. I know. But what does it matter? Like, he's not a person. I mean, he went there. Okay,
but
hold on.
Surely they would have stripped it. Like, you're going to have a kid living in the Al Cowlings dorm?
I'm looking it up right now. Al Cowlings dorm. Cowlings and Ilium Residential College USC housing. The largest structure in USC Village, the Cowlings and Ilium Residential College, is a tangible statement to the university's commitment to housing. 2017, Ed. This is a recent development. Hold on, I'm looking it up right now. USC now has a residential college named after Al Cowlings. The new USC Village, what year is this? Where's the headline? Yeah, 2017. The new USC Village project now has a residential college named after former USC defensive lineman Al Cowlings of the Wild Bunch / OJ Simpson Bronco fame. So how did Cowlings get a residential college instead of Sam Cunningham, Lynn Swan, or Marcus Allen? A $15 million anonymous gift was made to USC to endow and name their residential college. This remarkably generous gift enhances USC's world-class living and learning environment and will carry Mr. Cowling's name in tribute to his tremendous passion for his alma mater and our students, USC President Max Nikias said. Get the fuck out of here. Go fuck yourself. That's the institution you support. With your stupid license plate frame and your dumb polo shirt and your stupid hand signals. Go fuck yourself. For many years, Cowlings has been a close friend of Wayne Hughes, the founder of Public Storage. God damn, that's a next level rich. You know what I'm going to do for you, Ed? You know what I'm going to do for you today?
Name a building.
I'm going to buy you a fucking building. You want a building? I'm going to get you a building with your name on it. No problem. Today. I'm going to do that. I'm going to write a check and they're going to have to name something after you. Get the fuck out of here. R.I.P. OJ.
One of the great things this week has been the reemergence of all the Norm OJ jokes. Obviously when he said it's official murder is legal in the state of California, but he had so many good ones. Like when he had the hat.
My lucky stabbing cats.
Lucky stabbing. Or when he saw the families of Goldman and Nicole Brown, and he turned his head and he wept because he realized how much more killing he had to do.
So good.
Or one time OJ's defense was like, if only we could have heard Ron Goldman's last words. And he's like, oh, I know what it was. It was, hey, aren't you OJ Simpson? It's just so many good ones.
He would do and them
then,
every week.
And then the best one at the ESPYs where Ken Griffey Jr. acted like a real bitch.
Oh, yeah.
He said, Charles Woodson, Heisman Trophy winner. It's wonderful. Nobody can take that away from you unless you murder your ex-wife and her boyfriend.
Yes, that's so good.
And Ken Griffey Jr. is like shaking his head.
Oh, yeah, he did. He was disgusted by that. That was awesome. That's the only time the ESPYs have ever been watchable.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was hilarious and then immediately unwatchable.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We lost a legend. Yeah. Akebono. Taro Akebono, the Hawaiian-born Japanese sumo wrestler, 54 years old. He was a big deal.
He was a huge deal.
I don't know sumo wrestlers, but I knew about the meat bomb, yeah, Akebono.
Because he was the first non-Japanese grand champion. It was a big deal. Like, they were like, I think they resisted his rise.
Yeah.
Because he was a Hawaiian dude that was eating lots of that Moco Loco and got huge.
Had lots of poi.
Akebono, Ed, look at the numbers on this guy. 6'8".
Whoa.
514 pounds.
Jeez.
Imagine trying to push that dude out of a circle. I knew his name was Chad. Akebono Taro, born Chadwick Hahio Rowan, was an American-born Japanese professional sumo wrestler. Joining sumo in 1988, he was trained by pioneering Hawaiian wrestler Taki Miyama and rose swiftly up the rankings, reaching the top division in 1990 after two consecutive Yusho or tournament championships in November 1992 and January 1993. He made history by becoming the first non-Japanese-born wrestler ever to reach Yokozuna, the highest rank in sumo. What a fucking legend.
A legend. Also, Lori and George Chappell, they were the conjoined twins, 62 years old. Well, I was reading about them.
Well, hold on.
She was a champion bowler, which I got to call bullshit. I don't think she could see the pins. I think that her brother on the other side was like, oh, you knocked them all down again.
How can you be conjoined and be male and female?
I don't know. I'm looking.
Well, we got to hold on. This is, I mean twins. What do we know about twins?
Right, like the eye socket.
Oh, God damn it. Whoo. I mean, how long they lived? 62.
George was a country. That's a long time to be attached to someone. He was a country singer.
How is this allowed, Ed? Like, this comes out and doesn't. Isn't the doctor like, okay, get the shovel, or just like throw him in a bag? Like what? Like no disrespect.
Yeah, I mean, good for them, but like 62 years.
Good for them.
I don't know what to say.
I don't either. Lori and George, born as
George. George came out as transgender in 07. Yeah. So that's okay.
Born as Lori and Dory. And really, that's insult to injury, is it not? Lori and Dory.
Rhyming names. Come on.
I mean, they were the oldest living conjoined twins in the world. Guinness World Records noted that George's gender transition made him and Lori the first set of conjoined twins to identify as different genders. Well, they were pioneers in that sense, Ed.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
Good for them. Again.
Oh, Ed. They're Philly natives.
Probably Eagles fans.
Oh, yeah. Go Birds. George designed support equipment for people with physical disabilities. He's like, hey, you know what? You know what would work good if you're joined at the head with someone else? You get a walker that works like this. But I can't imagine there's much market for that.
Yeah, you have like a recliner that's like two recliners that are attached at the top.
It's like that Saturday Night Live skit, the love seat.
Oh, yeah.
Like Kevin Nealon and Victoria Jackson with their enjoined toilets. As a country singer, George performed widely in the United States and visited Germany and Japan. Well, I mean, also the other one went too.
Yeah. They like,
you know, they ate that up.
But like Germany's like, how could this exist? Why didn't they? What, did the doctor not have a shovel? Why was there not? Why was there not a bag? Why was they not placed inside a bag? Like Germany's eugenics. There, they know what's up.
Yeah, they would have been doing all kinds of experiments on them in Germany.
Oh yeah, he sang "Fear of Being Alone" over the credits of "Stuck on You," a comedy. That's the Farrelly Brothers, a comedy film about a pair of fictitious conjoined twins. You know, the Farrelly Brothers couldn't think. I mean, the one of them, Bobby, had to pivot to making that horrible piece of shit, The Green Book.
Green Book.
It might have been Peter. Yeah, but none of their movies would be allowed today because they also did Shallow Hal.
Right.
And Me, Myself, and Irene?
Yeah, a very funny movie, but hilarious. Yeah, there's a lot in that wouldn't work today.
Lori acted as George's facilitator. She worked in a laundry, arranging her workload around his singing commitment. No, we get it. They have the same head. We know that they had to work around each other's schedule.
Yeah, it was like she loved going to France, but he was a real homebody. Like, it doesn't work like that. Like when he was performing in Japan, she was hovering in the same place while he was performing.
Also on stage, could you imagine? They also acted in an episode of the television series Nip Tuck, in which they played conjoined twins Rose and Raven Rosenberg. Well, I mean, they couldn't nip and tuck that's for sure. Lori and they took part in the grand opening of Ripley's Believe It or Not Auditorium. See, now, I mean, this is, you know, we're running out of good old fashioned freaks. Like, RIP. Yeah.
I assume the flags at Ripley's are at half mast this week.
Yeah. You're just not going to see much more.
Because you can tell so much about a baby instantly through a blood test.
Oh, yeah.
You can know all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. They know before what's going on.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. Very sad. Well, RIP.
I'm going to say, RIP to someone who has an even more wild story than the conjoined twins. Fritz Peterson, the ex-New York Yankee who swapped wives and kids with his teammate, Mike Kekich, 82 years old. This happened in like spring training. They're like, you know, I kind of want to fuck your wife and I kind of hate my kids. So let's just do a full swap.
Yeah.
And it stayed for one of them, I think.
Yeah.
One of them remained married, and the other one, it was like, that fizzled out in like 6 weeks.
Yeah. I believe that Matt Damon and Ben Affleck were at one point attached to making a movie version of these guys' story.
It's such a crazy story. They traded kids.
Yeah. That is. Now, this is like, is this like when the fighter pilots would be like, hey, Ted, I'm going over to do a tour, so I need you to fuck Brenda a couple times before I go, just in case I don't make it back. You know, then you could be the one to take over. And Ted's like, I understand.
Yeah,
whatever it takes, buddy. And they would just do that for
duty from the country.
They would just do that for each other. Hold on, we got to look this fucking.
This was very like, a free love.
Yeah, this was the 70s.
Yeah,
Fritz Peterson, Kekich. Let's look these guys up. Let's get the fucking full story on this.
I think I read one of them, like it stuck. The traded family worked.
Yeah. Okay. It's the, they just had their 50th anniversary. The anniversary passed quietly. There's no better team in all of, shut up. He's fucking New York Post. In the year 2020. Okay. Yeah. 25 years. Okay. Don't bore us. Get to the chorus, buddy. That's when Fritz Peterson and Mike
Peterson, Kekich, it worked out better for him. Kekich, the marriage didn't last at all.
Yeah. But I mean, look, these ball players don't stay married for too long as it is. Like that's a win. That's a huge W for Peterson. Engaged in the most infamous trade in baseball history. They traded their lives. Literally. They swapped wives. They exchanged pets. They essentially traded families. It was perhaps the single most 1973 thing that happened in 1973. Everyone knows we're a bunch of crazy guys, Thurman Munson said. I was very shocked, Ron. This is their teammates. Hold on this fucking page. I don't want to watch a video.
That's anyway. The post.
Yeah. Oh, look, there was a moment of the post. Oh, that's the Ben Affleck thing's there, but it won't let me scroll. Hold on, I'm gonna refresh.
You know, it's crazy. I'm in the middle of listening to a long ass book. Okay. It'd been like on my mind for years. Yeah. It's called The Power Broker by Robert Caro. It's about the guy who made all the bridges and highways and parks in New York.
Oh yeah, and he made the bridges too short so that black people couldn't get to the beach. Yeah.
Yeah, the clearance. He didn't want buses going to Jones Beach. So and it's like just a crazy power mogul kind of, you know, like it's just a book about like a piece of shit and all the ways he was a piece of shit. But throughout the book, this is happening in the 30s, 40s, 50s. The one newspaper that's like on his case is the New York Post. Yeah. And like that's pre-Rupert Murdoch ownership. Right. And so like now it's the biggest shill around. But back in the day, I guess the New York Post, they were like a quality paper.
Real paper. There was a moment a few years ago when Ben Affleck and Matt Damon made a serious run at getting a movie made about the Peterson-Kekich swap, but they grew out of the roles before anything developed. They got too old. That would have been something a couple notable Red Sox fans exploring a particularly sordid moment in Yankees history. Oh, wasn't there was a thing, I think it was in Gone Girl, where Ben Affleck refused to wear a Yankees hat. Like he wouldn't
look. I get it. If you're that level, if you're that level and it's not necessary to the plot.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
If I'm a Red Sox fan, I'm not putting on a Yankee hat. Like if I'm helping the movie get made.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I guess you could set it in, you know, if you're the producer, you could set it in a different place. Do you think the movie, broke down when, people saw one of these guys try to throw a baseball? that could have been, you know, they're actors. That could have been the issue.
That was, that was the issue with Diddy and,
Any Given Sunday. Yeah. He was supposed to be the quarterback and then they saw him. Yeah.
We need somebody who actually could play quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely.
Roberto Cavalli, designer who's celebrated excess, 83 years old.
Oh, there's a designer that liked the finer things in life, like the little
very particular.
I bet he had a lot of young boy servants around, those types of things.
Yeah. I clicked on an article that, you know, announced his death, and I was just exhausted looking at the pictures. Like, it's just this guy was probably way too much to be around for a minute.
Oh yeah, they're all they're all terrifying. It's so much. I agree.
And RP DJ Mr. C, New York hip hop icon who gave Big Daddy Kane and Notorious B.I.G. their big breaks, 57 years old.
Wow, that's too young. Okay, let's talk some sports.
My name is Brian. They call me the other guy. I host a podcast show. I'll give hetero life a try. If you see something on my hand that makes you think I'm not a man, it's just my cool rings, you see. They're as sparkly as can be. I'm my own joy on DVD.
Ed, what is going on in the world of sports this week?
Well, in his final video before dying, OJ assured fans he was in good health. It's really weird for us to learn that OJ sometimes lied also.
That was a tough one to take.
You know, you hate seeing your heroes go down like this, but yeah, he unfortunately his final video proved he was a liar.
RIP. And also he's wearing that 49ers jersey, and that really fucked me up one time because I was at a garage sale and I was probably like, I don't know, 8 years old, and somebody had a big old bag of football cards, and he's like, hey, you can have that whole bag for like $3 or whatever. And I'm like, I don't know. And he's like, pretty sure there's an OJ Simpson in there. And I'm like, okay, all right. Well, hey, that might be worth it.
That Buffalo Bills card.
Yeah, I took that home and I went through the cards. And I think there were, I think there was a Joe Namath on the Rams in there. There was a, and there was, and then I got, I'm like, oh, there's the OJ's fucking guys in 49er uniform.
That's terrible. Terrible.
Yeah. All right.
21-year-old skier died while trying to jump over a Colorado highway. These extreme sports people.
It is, it's too much.
Like, I understand you're all part of a kind of like, yeah, let's go for it. Let's do this. But like, there wasn't one person around who's like, you know what? That's a really terrible idea.
I mean, you got to jump the highway. You're 21 years old,
right?
You're jumping highways. You know, like,
just do like fun stuff on the mountain. Yeah, like the highway isn't a fun thing to ski.
No, land on the soft stuff, buddy. Like this. Oh yeah, no. What he encouraged other? Okay, I need to get the details of this. Here we go. 21-year-old man has died after attempting
Dallas
to jump over the width of a highway. For a Dallas is definitely you have a Dallas. He's definitely going to be trying to jump shit either on his dirt bike. Oh, we just did that dirt bike one a couple weeks ago, didn't we? Didn't a guy get killed on a dirt bike?
But he was practicing for like X Games.
Yes. Shit. Yeah. Yeah. He was trying to triple backflip dead. Dallas LeBeau died in an accident Tuesday after he failed to clear the roadway near Winter Park. LeBeau was unconscious and not breathing. Yeah. The preliminary investigation revealed that the victim was attempting to perform a high. He was doing this for the gram, by the way, Ed. You know, he was trying to get a clip for his Instagram.
Death by gram.
Not worth it, guys.
Not worth it.
Yeah, very sad. RIP.
The Sixers announced they had a Allen Iverson statue unveiling, and then they unveiled it, and it was this like tiny statue that you can barely tell who it is.
Yeah, is this a statue for ants? Like, what was the what's the point of that? Like,
it's so small, and
goes on
of
your
course
deck.
It's at the practice facility, which is kind of funny given it's Allen Iverson.
Yeah, yeah, he's a guy who didn't like to practice.
We talk about practice.
So they can't, well,
it's he's such a cool player. Like, they have all the opportunity in the world to make a real statue, and they just make this little miniature thing.
Yeah, can they not have statues, like, at the Spectrum or wherever they play? Because it's Philly, and they'll get stolen?
Well, they had, the best is, they had so the Rocky statue was at the art museum, steps.
Yeah.
And then they eventually moved it to the Spectrum because they're like, this is sports. We're going to put the fake sport guy at the, and the city went nuts and they're like, no, it needs to be at the art museum. So they compromised and they put it next to the Rocky steps. They wouldn't allow it. People were like, no, Rocky belongs at our art museum. So they're like, all right, we'll move it back.
Bill Burr had plenty to say about in the
Philadelphia when incident. He crushes Philly. That's a good one.
Yeah. I would encourage anybody to Google Bill Burr, the Philadelphia incident.
It's like a 15-minute rant. Just
he counts down the minutes. He's like, I'm using my time, and all he does is shit on Philadelphia the whole time.
It's good.
Yeah, it's a tiny statue. Look, these statues, what they never look right. Like, we got AI now. We got 3D printing.
Sometimes they're like the statues around Camden Yards. They're pretty good. They look like Eddie Murray. They look like Cal Ripken.
That's pretty cool.
Jim Palmer, all that. But like, and this Iverson one might be good, but like, why would you make it a foot tall? Why wouldn't you make it like a real thing?
Yeah. I was just in Nashville, not to keep bringing it up, but they have a statue of a longtime Predators goalie, Pekka Rinne, outside of the Bridgestone Arena. And I remember thinking, because it's kind of like life size. And I'm like, I should have made that a little bigger.
Right. Just, it's a statue. It's like a regular you want to be able to see it from like a block away.
Yeah. Like it should be like make a big one, you know, make it like more dramatic. And now they're making them 20% of a human size. Like what's going on here?
This looks like the little Penny from the old commercials, the little miniature Penny Hardaway. Yes. What is this?
I don't know. It's crazy.
Come on, Philly. People were flipping out over Jason Day's golf outfits. They yeah. were like really mad that he was wearing stuff that isn't boring.
Yeah, he's sponsored by this company that's like one of these companies that's like trying to make golf cool. And I will say, I was watching the Masters. These fucking guys dress so boring. There's no style. The clothes are bad. They used to have this guy, Justin Thomas, used to be sponsored by Polo. And before him, Davis Love III was sponsored by Polo. That's a better example. And Polo, that's just classic design. Like everybody knows Polo. And if you're wearing Polo, you're looking pretty sharp.
Right.
Well, Justin Thomas was sponsored by Polo. And then he yelled the F slur, albeit at himself, on the green when he missed a putt one time. And they immediately canceled his sponsorship. And now I don't think anybody wears Polo. But they all wear like Under Armour. And there's guys that are sponsored by Nike, and Nike makes some cool clothes. But these guys are all such fucking nerds that they're like, oh, just give me the khaki. Like, give me the most boring items that you have in the collection this year, and I'll wear those. And it's like, how are you going to sell clothes? And then this guy, Jason Day, he's sponsored by this company, Malbon Golf, which makes where a shirt is like $300, but they're kind of cool. Like it's kind of like forward design. It's kind of interesting. It's different than everything else. And of course, Augusta's like, oh, you can't wear that. That's interesting. That's an interesting clothing item.
Interesting. What if somebody sees you?
Yeah. Get the fuck out of here. Fuck off. Yeah.
Staying with outfits and uniforms, Nike was ripped for the risque women's Olympic uniforms. One of the athletes said, my hoo-ha is going to be out.
Oh, now let's take a look at this. Skimpy. Aren't they always risque? Like, they can be any more risque. Hold on. Apparently, there's an Olympics coming up. Is that true?
Yes.
And is it the one that's here?
It's Paris. It's always during election year is Olympics.
That's right.
This summer.
Oh, yeah, it's kind of see-through.
Yeah, the women, it's like cut high, whereas the men have like spandex.
Oh, yeah. Is that one sprinter? She going to be wearing this? The one that they wouldn't let run last time because she did weed?
Yes.
She'll be wearing this.
Yeah, she's Sha'Carri Richardson. Yeah. And also the 400 hurdler, Sydney McLaughlin. She's pretty attractive. Yeah.
I do like, too, that they're like, the beach volleyballs in the Olympics. And they're like, it's not even like at the beach. It's just at a place where they put some sand. And they're like, oh, yeah, but you guys have to be naked. And it's like, well, wait, they're just playing. That's the uniform. The uniform is you guys need to be nearly naked. And they're like, well, can I just wear like some regular shorts and a t-shirt? No, you got to be nude. This is beach volleyball, for God's sakes.
So in 2012, I I went to the Olympics and in London. And
this for Animal New York, I recall.
Yeah, and I wrote for Animal, and I wrote for some smaller, it was like the hometown of one of the beach volleyball players. Like, I got paid a few bucks. But anyway, somebody ripped into me for promoting a sport that uses women's sexuality instead of their athleticism or something. I was like, it was just a lighthearted story about how everybody's having fun. And like, somebody was like, you're part of the problem.
You are. Yeah. That's bullshit. Fuck those. There's those people always show. And it would be twice as bad now, Ed. Can you imagine?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk. So let's do some voicemails.
He's so easy to hate. Your time he likes to waste. His calls are far from great. His calls are far from great. He's such a stupid fuck. He seems down on his luck. His voicemails really suck. His voicemails really suck. No one's enjoying him. He's so annoying. Plus, so fucking boring and worthless. But he's got nothing else to do. And he's even worse than Ish. His faults are useless. Shit. He's fat and got big teeth.
Breaking news, Ed.
Yeah.
From some fucking perverts on my text machine here. I looked at my phone while the beautiful Manuel and Gardenia song. Oh, by the way, Manuel, apparently no longer on the night shift, got called into the Travis Rogers show this or last week only just to get filleted deeply by Travis Rogers. And he acted like the King of England was calling.
Wow.
It was Manuel and Gardenia. But
that's
this
pride.
This just in from a couple random perverts on my text. Salma Hayek says her family won't let her take swimsuit photos in peace. Salma Hayek can't get a moment of peace as she tries to take some bikini photos on Monday, April 15th. The actress, 57.
Oh, and that fastball is still hitting.
It is unbelievable. I happen to follow her on Instagram, I think because of something we discussed on the show. So I saw these pictures, and it is wild that this woman is not a human being. Like, there's
her and who's the chick who makes her son like
what? Oh, Elizabeth Hurley.
Hurley. She also is ridiculous.
Yeah, and it's like, look, the conspiracy people are like, Hillary Clinton drinks the blood of infants to stay young, and Bill Gates drinks the blood of infants to stay young. And I'm like,
those people look like shit.
I'm like, I know that's not true because they look like shit. Both of them, all of those people, everybody that you're telling me is eating babies to stay young and live forever looks like fucking hell. Now, if you tell me Selma Hayek's doing it, understandable. She looks fucking amazing. It's incredible, this woman. Anyway, okay, let's do a couple voicemail.
Hello, Bellas.
Oh, Katie
here.
Yep. Katie.
So I am calling to support the fact that Archie Bunker and Edith Bunker were the old people, young people, old people winners.
Yeah.
I was very young when Archie Bunker was on, but I remember my parents watching it, and it was like one of those shows that when you're 4 years old and it comes on, you just kind of like run to the other room.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, who are these horrible old people?
Awful.
And then I remember in the late...
In retrospect, it's a very funny show.
Yeah, but for a little kid, it's not. Oh, when I would hear that boy the way Glenn Miller, I was like, I gotta get that and the MASH theme song. And I'd be like, I gotta get away from this TV.
So depressing. Now, meanwhile, if you throw on some Growing Pains or Family Ties, I'm right there for it. But the All in the Family, their house was so depressing.
Yeah, it was very like ugly looking.
Yeah, ugly, and they're old, and I just fucking hated them. Now I see, I'm always seeing clips on Instagram of Archie Bunker saying very inappropriate shit, and he's fucking hilarious. And I didn't, you know,
yeah,
it missed me when I was 5.
80s, early 90s, Carol O'Connor was on a show, and I think
in
it was called
of the Night,
Heat of the Night, or something like that. And when that was a new show coming on, I remember thinking to myself, like, this guy's like 1,000 years old,
and he was like 60
still on TV,
yeah,
because he was like the oldest guy in the world when I was like 4, right. And I'm 14 now,
right?
So yeah, Polly looks old, but he also looks like he was supposed to be like super poor, Philly working class, which is just kind of like a hard life. And I know people who were 36 who lived a life like that, and they look fucking old as fuck.
That's true.
And so I think we're showing our privilege by damning how Polly looked as a 36-year-old, but when you know 36-year-olds who live life super duper hard, that's what it looks like.
I appreciate her support and all of that, but let's not give him a full pass. I mean, he did look like shit for 36.
Oh no, it was a real battle royale there in the Sweet 16, Ed. I mean, any of these guys. And like, looking back, I've looked back because, look, I didn't want it this way. But the fact was, and mostly you fucked me here, Ed, you set me up, and I had to cast a deciding vote between Archie Bunker.
Went with Paulie?
No, you went with Archie.
I went with Archie, okay.
Ed, Jason Stewart, staying consistent.
Oh, he's consistent, if nothing else.
That's right. He picked Paulie from Rocky.
Right.
And I expected you to pick Rocky, too. See, and I'm like, okay, we're out of here. But no.
It goes by the day, though.
Yeah, no.
Today, I'm feeling like it. The right guy won. But like maybe last week I was thinking probably it should have been Paulie.
I was thinking that too. And then or maybe over the weekend, Katie Shady texted me pictures of both Paulie and Carol O'Connor from the time. And by a hair, Archie was the right pick. It was right to pick Archie in this. Now, did Paulie look younger than 64 years old at age 36? The answer is no. He looked like complete fucking shit. But Carol O'Connor, Archie Bunker, was the older looking young guy.
Yeah.
Secondly, Bri.
Yep.
The first thing that me and Mr. Shady said to you when you told us you were going to Nashville is not to eat the hot chicken.
That's right.
It's bad. Mild, medium, whatever. It's always too hot. And the hot is not even like a flavor. It's just heat and grease.
It's true.
So it's like you get this chicken that's super greasy that is at a super popular restaurant. So the grease is always dirty. So the chicken is fried in dirty grease and has that gross, dirty, greasy flavor to it. And then they just like coat it in really low level gross hot sauce. I mean, it's disgusting. And you're right. The most disgusting thing about it is the piece of bread that is in there, like stopping up all the dirty grease and hot sauce. Disgusting.
Yes.
And I understand maybe because you were there, you felt like you had to eat it. But you didn't.
It was Fan's fault. Fan is had a fucking hard on for this hot chicken. And he's like, we're getting the hot chicken. We got to get the hot chicken. I stood in line for this fucking chicken. And Ed, it wasn't. I'm not with Katie Shady in the sense that I didn't think it was of poor quality. I mean, it was it tasted pretty good. It was just too fucking hot. Too goddamn spicy. And you know, when you're eating something real spicy like that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times you end up with gastrointestinal distress.
Yep.
Which is
goes through you like Grant through Richmond.
Yes, exactly. You don't want that.
I just wish
you were warned. What?
Yes, Ed.
I wish I knew that you were going to Nashville before because I would have told you to go to the Loveless Cafe for a good old Southern breakfast. It is delicious.
I'll do that next time. I'll definitely do that next time. I mean, what's you can't other than the hot chicken, I mean, you can't walk 3 feet without running into some fucking delicious food and nice ass people in the Nashville city of Nashville
by people who are really good at food to not eat it. And I back that up by knowing that Ed has been eating great nuts lately and he thinks they're delightful.
Oh no, he doesn't.
They're
not really good. Stop.
I got a box.
You shouldn't have eaten that.
Yeah.
No. I got a box a few weeks ago. I liked it.
No, you didn't like it, Ed. You didn't like it.
I did.
No, it's flavorless rocks.
No,
it's pebbles.
It's part of the charm.
Charm. Don't lie. You put some honey on that or some good old fashioned table sugar. Did you not?
Never.
What?
Never. Ever. Never. What? Never add sugar then you, or then honey to my
you
cereal.
You season it with like some flavored milk or something because there's no flavor to grape nuts.
There is.
No, stop. Stop. It's and 2 seconds after you, because, you know, cement is just sand and rocks, right? And you get the sand and rocks wet and they get hard. Similarly, so is grape nuts. You put a little bit of milk on this grape nuts and you're like, oh, this is delicious. And 2 seconds later, you're like, dink, 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 dink. And you're like, wow, how come my spoon doesn't? I can't penetrate these grape nuts with my spoon because it's turned into cement. Look, is what's happening.
It's not in the rotation, but for me, it's like once every 18 months or so, I'll be like, yeah, I have a hankering for grape nuts.
Let me know in 18 months if you head back to the store and get another box of grape nuts. Get the fuck out of here. Okay, here's another one.
Hey guys, what's going on?
Oh, Kyle.
Hey, I just want to go on record. Wings are overrated.
Whoa,
just. The whole fucking deal of it, the whole Wing Wednesday, making a big ordeal, it's just too much work for too little. You're fucking a mess when you're done with it. The sauce is dripping down your fucking face. You got a pile of goddamn bones.
Yeah.
You don't know what to do. It's a fucking mess.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think wings are good or whatever, but it just ain't worth it in the end.
Yes.
That's Michelle's, that's what she always says to me. It's too much work for the the little chicken that you actually get. I love wings. I mean, love them.
I love wings too. But Michelle and I are on the same page because I have a too much work to eat list. And first and foremost, number one on the too much work to eat list, of course, is crab. Any kind of crab legs, those little fucking crabs, any kind of crabs.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
I like crab cakes because somebody's done the work for me.
Somebody's done the work. Fantastic. Yes, a crab cake. You get a couple crab cakes for the table. Who doesn't love that? Yeah. Usually they make a nice sauce for them. Who doesn't love? And don't get me wrong. I love crab meat. I enjoy crab.
Crab dip.
Yeah, but you're getting your hands are all dirty. You're breaking open these little pieces to get a tiny morsel, a sliver of meat. And you're like, finally, you're just like, fuck it. Just get this fucking bullshit away from me. So that's on the list. You know what else is on the list?
What?
People aren't going to like this. You know who might not like this? Kyle and Scotty. Corn on the cob. Fuck corn on the cob. It's delicious. It's good. It's way too hard to eat. It gets all over your face. I got a mustache now. It gets in the kernels in the mustache. It's everywhere. It's dripping. You know, some people need those little fucking holders on the end. What? You need a fucking special tool to eat this shit? Get the fuck out of here. Fuck
corn. But when you get in a rhythm, it's like a typewriter.
Yeah, you get it. Yeah, you get it going. But then you don't want to put it down. Then you're just eating the one thing. You know, you also got some ribs or a burger going. You want to go back and forth, but you're like, I got a nice rhythm going.
That's why you need the holders.
Yeah, that's why you need the holders. Yeah. Okay, let's see what Kyle's. I got more thoughts on wings.
And yeah, the hot stuff. I used to love hot stuff, but god damn, it ain't even good.
Yeah.
It's too hot. You can't taste the food. It's just too fucking hot.
I agree.
All right, guys. Take care. Oh.
I've broken bread.
I don't like things that are too hot.
I agree. And I like spicy things, but there's a place. There's a time and place. I will say this: I love wings, but there's this new thing that people are doing to try to be cute, where they claim they like the flat part of the wing better than the drumstick. And that's just bullshit. You're just so full of fucking shit if you say that. And they're like, no, it's more meat and I got a special technique. And look, fucker, it's two bones versus one bone. I want the thing with two bones where I got
to
get the shit.
You have to get inside the two bones. Yeah. I love wings, but I definitely prefer the drumstick.
You get the drummer. It's easier to dip. The fucking
easier to hold.
The skin to meat ratio is perfect. And also you get all the crusty, burnt little fucking corners all around that are the best, that hold all the sauce, that are the best tasting part. You eat the flat part. You get a crunchy piece of fucking cartilage in your mouth every single fucking time that you got to spit out. You got to pull the fucking, and be like, no, I got this technique where I put the whole thing. Look, I can do that too. But I don't prefer that over the fucking one that's more crunchy, that tastes better, that's got one fucking bone versus two. Get the fuck out of here. Okay. Let's do a couple emails. A special story for Ed. I know you will love this, Ed. Double penis fracture.
No.
That's from our friend.
No.
Is this a Dennis Rodman situation? Hold on. We're opening it now. Oh, no. Oh, shit. Accidentally hit
fracture.
Copy. Paste.
Oh, God.
Copy. Let's see
here. 27-year-old male.
Now, hold on. Did this happen in India? This feels like India.
Characteristic eggplant deformity.
Yeah. Whoa.
Oh, this makes me like hurt just reading it.
This Matthew Richards is sending us stuff from medical journals.
I saw the picture. I cannot believe I
There's
saw that
picture. There's a picture?
Yeah, you keep scrolling. No, I'm just warning you. It's fucking.
Ooh.
No, I clicked off it. I cannot.
Whoa.
Cannot process that.
Whoa!
It's
oh! There's pictures of the surgery, dude.
Oh god! I clicked off as soon as I saw that. Yo! I will say, I don't know if it's from the swelling, kind of girthy. That dude.
Yeah, it's got some size to it. I would agree. This is not even a story. This is just he's just like, hey, you want to see some
sending
broken dicks?
Medical records?
Yes, Matthew, do better, buddy. Bad guy. You may need to see that. Here's another one. Ballers, Brian, thank you for talking about Caitlin Clark 2 weeks ago when Ed was away. I almost emailed you about her to see if coastal elites such as yourself and Ed were pretending to care about women's basketball like everyone on TV was. A prominent sports podcaster I listen to is going so far as to say she is going to make the WNBA relevant when she joins next season. Oh, that sounds like Bill Simmons to me. I can't imagine that a league that is so unpopular and unprofitable that it only exists because it is heavily subsidized by another league is just one player away from more than a dozen people caring. One of his guests said everyone at the sports bar he was at during one of her games was fixated on it. Apparently, the ratings for her games were high, but I just do not buy the hype. Also, my favorite part of the young old guy tourney was that you continued to belly laugh at the ages of the contestants like you were hearing their age for the first time, even though it was the 10th time you heard how old Sparky Anderson was in 84. Can't wait for the NIT. James Gandolfini was robbed, 38 on The Sopranos. Good day. That is from Adam in Houston. Ed, I just saw right before we went to air, breaking news, Caitlin Clark drafted by the Indiana something. Will you be purchasing an Indiana something jersey and watching her professional games?
So,
yeah.
So I have a couple thoughts. I don't know what you said, because for the last like month, the book is 1300 pages. So it's like a 60-hour audiobook.
Yeah.
So I haven't listened to any podcast at all.
Yeah.
So I don't know what your take is on Caitlin Clark.
Yes.
But this is my takeaway.
Okay.
If I had a daughter who was into playing basketball,
yep,
I could see a scenario in which I'm more supportive of women's basketball, like watching it, because, you know, fine, that's somebody to look up
you're
to.
Your son plays soccer. You're into soccer for that reason.
Yes.
Understandable.
But I don't watch women's basketball. Like, no. There's only so many things I can watch. And like, that's, and she undeniably has like good shooting range, and they in All-Star Weekend, the women can compete in the 3-point contest.
Yep.
Like they actually are good shooters.
Yep.
But the thought that like she could play, and like some people saying she could play in the NBA, she's not getting a shot off.
No, of course not. Of course
like not. That.
Well, hold on.
She has NBA range.
Of course. But, what if they run my wall offense that I've been discussing for all these years for Steph Curry? You just put four people in front of Caitlin Clark.
Quadruple pick.
And she shoots from 40 feet.
That's the only way she's getting a shot off.
Of course.
Like, it's just, the hyperbole around her, but it's undeniable that she was getting ratings and stuff.
Yeah.
Like I was at a bar while the women's national championship game was going on. That's right. She lost to South Carolina, I think.
That's right. The South Carolina, the Cox, the Lady Cox, went undefeated, Ed.
Yeah. And so I saw it was on, and like, you know, there were people watching it at the bar. Yeah. Undeniably, like people were watching it because it was like 4 p.m. on a Saturday, something like that.
Yeah.
And people were watching it because that was the sport that was on ESPN or whatever channel.
Yeah.
But like, I think she's great at what she does. And what I think is people are like, now the ratings for women's college basketball are going to be through the roof. And it's like, I think this is, somebody made this point. I think it's true. You know how like Trump got a bunch of people into voting that never voted before?
Yeah.
But that doesn't make them reliable voters for other elections. The same can be true with Caitlin Clark. She is this big deal, but like when she's not playing in there, there's not the same star to hype. Like, no. I think women's basketball goes back down to, she'll get some buzz in the WNBA, but like ultimately, I don't know. When people were angry that the NBA subsidized, like whatever, like it's fine. That league exists, but like, it's not going to make a huge deal, I don't think.
So you won't be tuning in to watch the Indiana, whatever they're called, versus the Lynx on a Wednesday night during the season, whenever that is.
Also, most of the names of the franchises are terrible.
Well, I know the Lynx.
Fever, the Liberty.
Sparks, of course. The Aces. I love the Aces. The Aces are my squad. The Las Vegas.
That's Vegas, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't even, the Liberty.
What's isn't the, there is one that's like named after Mohegan Sun? It's like
the I think
sun.
They're the Sun. Yeah, the Mohegan, yeah. The Connecticut Sun or whatever.
Yeah, there's some bad, bad names.
Look, it's a niche. Who could forget when Brandi Chastain ripped her jersey off after scoring the game-winning goal back in the 90s, and everyone's like, women's soccer is here to stay. And then now they have a Ladies World Cup every 8 months or so, and there's Megan Rapinoe getting a talk show, and there's some other lady, and everyone's like, it's it. They're here. Ladies soccer is here. You're not going to be able to avoid it. It's worked itself up to a fever pitch. There's only going to be ladies soccer now. Where the fuck is it? It's not here. It's never going to be here. It's fine. It's a thing while it's a thing, and then it's not, and that's okay. We don't have to a thing that's a thing for a while doesn't have to be a thing forever. It's fine. It's no big deal. Just let it be a thing while it's a thing. Although I heard, and there's no way this is true, because supposedly Ice Cube, my guy, offered
Caitlin Clark, 3-on-3 league.
Yeah, $25 million to play in the big three. But she would take that. Like, if that were an offer, 100% she would accept that offer, because that's more than she'll make forever.
And I would 100% watch.
I would watch that.
Because I'd be curious, can she get a shot off against competent men's basketball players?
Yeah, could she come off a screen before Amari Stoudemire can get to the three-point line? And she probably could. She probably could bomb them from outside in half court. Like, I would watch that. That would be kind of fun. I'd be into that.
Right.
One more. Ballers. Guaranteed.
Oh, and as for the NIT.
Yep.
Angelo made a cool bracket. Oh, yeah. We're just running a little long.
Okay. Yeah.
So next week.
Let's do it next week. Oh, exciting. Ballers, guaranteed you have already cranked up the song to memorialize the loss of the world's oldest conjoined twins. Yes, we discussed that earlier. While George was a talented country music singer, Lori was a talented bowler, as she was reported to take home several trophies due to her prowess on the lanes. No report of her gulp form, but there's no chance she was a two-handed bowler. Keep it baller. That's from Ben 906, the official bowling correspondent of the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. Let's discuss some topics that are not, in fact, sports ed.
Well, it's time for non-sports segment on the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. Non-sports. I'm talking about the segment now. Non-sports segment.
Oh. Ed, what is going on in things that are not sports?
Infamous, what was it, like early 90s guy? Yeah. John Wayne Bobbitt.
Yeah.
He's down some more appendages. He lost all his toes due to contaminated Camp Lejeune water.
Hey, fam. There's still a lot more of this episode to hear, but it's only available to our bonus content subscribers. Click the link in the show notes or go to theballerlifestyle.com and subscribe so you never miss a minute of the show.
Brian Beckner, quick to dissect the week in sports and culture and whatever. Plus Daily's choice and taking a peek while you're over at the urinal taking a leak. Talking loud, comments, conundrums, my brothers. Reviewing some movies and shows and others. Top podcast, man. No one is above us. 5-star. Even the haters will love us. And we're not trying to talk politics a lot. We'd much rather talk about dicks a lot. Shit's so hot. Man, you know the shit's on top. Top podcast, man. It really hits the spot. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the Lifestyle's Baller. And you know the show is so flawless. TBLS, the Lifestyle's Baller. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the Lifestyle's Baller. And you know the show is for all us. TBLS, the Lifestyle's Baller.